Remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening, everybody. This is the RAA Team B call. And on the call, we have Tatiana Kramtsova, Siva Mutusami, Michele Nilon, Steve Metallet, Staten Hammock, Tim Ruiz, Holly Reich, and for staff, we have Liz Gaster, Marika Koenigs, Dave Piscitello, and Glenda Saint-Gerie. And may I ask everybody to say your name before you speak for the transcription. Thank you very much. Over to you, Steve.
Thank you very much, Glenn, and thanks to everybody for taking the time to join the call. It's a beautiful spring day here. I'm sure it's not. It's not even a day. Some places that
you're not wrong.
But anyway, thanks very much for joining. We have a rather skeletal agenda here, which is focused on task three, and then looking at the timetable because we seem to have already deviated from our timetable, and it's clear we're not going to submit our report next week. So we should figure out what our new timetable will be and the next steps. Before we get into that, first of all, let me just ask if there are any other agenda items that that people wanted to raise. Okay. Before we get into task three, there were one or two loose ends from our call, our last call, which was on the 18th. Margie was going. We had this discussion about the law enforcement proposals that were referenced in the GAC communique from Nairobi and their interest that these be seriously considered. I'm not sure who's typing, but if you could mute, that would be great. Margie did check with Paul Hoare and found out that this is apparently the same list that we had already seen back in, I think, November, and that already discussed, had a whole meeting with Bobby Flame to discuss. So what the GAC is talking about, we already have on our in the mix here. So I don't think there's anything else that we need to do on that. There aren't any new law enforcement proposals that anybody knows of. We did have one or two other loose ends. One, Dave Giza was going to check on something with the legal department, but that does tie into task three, and I know David's not on the call, not able to be on the call today. So I think that kind of brings us up to date on the loose ends from last time, unless I'm forgetting some, which is quite possible. Does anybody else have anything else from last time that we needed to discuss? Okay. If not, let's start in on task three. Now, as you know, I circulated a straw man proposal for what to do on task three. Task three is simply recommend next steps, this subteam would recommend to the council what next steps ought to be taken, and obviously it'd be up to the council to decide whether those are the right next steps. So I had circulated a list, and we talked about that to some extent on the 18th, and there had been a few minor annotations to that. But following that call, we did have some traffic on the list on this topic, and we now have, as of about an hour ago, a revised or an alternative proposal for task three, what we should recommend on task three. And I think that's up on the screen now if you're on Adobe. But whether you are or not, maybe I could ask Tim, who had circulated this, if he would just walk through this with us so that everybody is clear on what he's proposing for task three.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so the concerns were expressed about from registrars about involving anyone other than the two parties to the contract and the actual negotiations. So there was some discussion of that. And that's, an issue for registrars because we truly believe that the only two parties actually in a negotiation would be registrars and ICANN staff. However, the whole point of this exercise was to try to alleviate the concerns in the community that, they weren't included or it wasn't open enough, there wasn't enough involvement of the community, et cetera, in the previous amendments that were agreed to with the last RIA amendments. And so that was, one of the things that we had hoped to alleviate or at least to satisfy partly with this drafting team and to address some of the issues that the community felt wasn't covered last time. And that's the steps that I've outlined in my proposal, again, is trying to do without going beyond that threshold that I think registrars have an issue with, and that's who is involved in the negotiations. So what I'm proposing is that after that the next step would be, or the next steps would be, that the full list has been compiled by the group would go to staff. There might be, some further work, or possibly not, on weeding out any issues that fall under consensus policy, and that would be dealt with through that channel versus amendments to the RIA. And then negotiations would begin with the staff and the registrars. And I didn't detail this, but I think I mentioned it in some of my text above, my proposal that, deference would be given to the prioritization that the group did. And because there's a lot on that list, I'm not sure it's practical to think that, everything is going to get addressed in the next set of amendments. So I think the prioritization was important for that purpose. So negotiations would begin. As some agreement is reached on various items, in wanting to be timely and keeping the public informed about where things are at, those would be posted back for public comment and feedback. But I think even beyond that, the GNSO may even want to specifically form a drafting team or perhaps a SIS drafting team that reconvenes, to review the work that's been done and develop a response or comments in regards to that as feedback and information for the staff and the registrars. To then take back and continue negotiations, repeating step 4 and 5 until we have what is considered or proposed to be a final draft of the RRA, which would then go through a similar process of public comment and the council reviewing and considering the comments that would come in from that. And based on those and their own discussions and deliberations, decide whether to approve that version of the RAA or not. If they do approve it, it would go to onto the board for approval. If not, then it would go back to staff and registrars with whatever appropriate feedback and information for reconsideration, and then again repeating those steps, taking into consideration council's feedback and other comments, another revised final draft, if you will, and then iterating through that process again. We want to be as open and inclusive as we can, and it's just that threshold of the actual negotiations, I think, is all we really have an issue with, and keeping that between the two parties to the agreement.
Okay, thank you, Tim. Why don't we open the floor for comments, questions, discussion on Tim's proposal? I see Liz has her hand up. Did anybody else want to get in the queue? Staten?
Dave, excuse me, this is Glenn. Just to say that Cheryl Langdon Orr has joined the call.
Thank you. Welcome, Cheryl.
I did confess to that, but just in typing chat. Michele's been winding me up ever since.
Right. Okay. We have Liz, Staten, Holly. Let's start with that cue and go from there. Liz, you're on.
So I just have some very minor additions or edits to Tim's flow that I'd like to just offer. For number one, I'd suggest that the full list go to the GNSO Council and staff, because that was the original GNSO Council resolution that created this drafting team, working group, request.
You're right.
Yeah, I should endeavor to provide its advice to the council and ICANN staff, so that, I think that's right. And I just wanted to elaborate, you know, I think, Tim, this makes sense to me in terms of the RAA requirements. Number seven, the GNSO Council reviews and considers comments and votes on approval. You know, we're interpreting that now. It requires two-thirds vote of the GNSO Council, which, addressing the two-house model that we have today, would essentially, mean a supermajority vote of approval from the contracted party house and a simple majority approval in the non-contracted party house. So I wanted to add just some specificity there. This is tracking the same basic model or structure for the negotiations that was used in the previous RAA amendments process, and so just adapting it to the two-thirds house model. And then just recognizing, too, that this public comment process and the requirement that there be outreach and solicitation of a range of stakeholder inputs, which is the process that we're engaged in right now.
Okay. Thank you, Liz. Staten, go ahead.
Thanks, Steve. I agree with Tim's proposal for next steps. I did have a question about number two, just to be clear, on the further weeding out of issues that fall under consensus policy. So we give the list to the staff. Is the staff weeding out issues that fall under consensus policy, or is that done by somebody else?
Actually, it's Liz. I meant to ask that question myself and propose that at least some of that get done by the group.
Yeah, I think some of that would be done by the group, and some notes have been made of that.
Right.
And then I think, you know, any that would be reviewed by both the council and staff, and any concerns or issues about any of that could be raised if there's anything else that needed to be noted as, or was agreed as being a consensus policy issue. The main reason I put that is it's because I didn't know if this working group would be definitively making that decision, or if that would go back to council and there would be some advice back from staff, general counsel, or whatever, you know, to just make sure that we make the right decision on those.
Right, Tim, this is Staten. That at the beginning of the working group, I think I asked the question, or somebody did, about whether we're going to be talking about whether certain issues fall, you know, under consensus policy or not, and my understanding was that we wouldn't be doing that, although if we want to do it, then before we send it, shouldn't that be something that we do before the list goes to staff? Or if we're not going to do it in the group, then I'm okay with
sending the list. May I respond to that, Staten? I think if you look back at our assignment, that was task two, and we've been doing that for the last 4 months. Every time we go through a section,
yes,
we ask if anybody thinks it raises any issues under consensus policy. So since we haven't finished really with task one and two, as I'm sure Holly will remind us.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Certainly,
and if she doesn't, others will.
Okay.
Right.
Certainly,
right.
It's certainly possible for any member of the task force that thinks that there's an issue, an unflagged issue that should be flagged, to put a flag on it. We have Holly next, and does anybody else want to be in the queue? I'll put myself in the queue after Holly. Go ahead, Holly.
I'm feeling as if I can go back to bed because you know what I'm going to say. I'm not sure I agree with Liz. I certainly think Tim's outline of where we're going is very sensible. I still think what we have to do, given that we had a very huge list of issues and against a number of issues that are very similar, we said high priority agrees. That's going to be very, I suppose, confusing and time-consuming for the registrars to go through. I think it would be far more useful if we did do that next step and say, what is it we actually agree against each topic? What is our priority? So that by the time it goes back to staff and goes to the registrars, there's a very clear understanding of our view of what's important, our view of what can be solved or we think can be addressed through consensus policy. And it also gives them an idea of what really are our top priorities, so that I do appreciate the statement they would give preference to the things we give preference to, but we've given preference to about 45 things. So let's actually be serious about what we were giving preference to, just to assist them to carry out exactly what they said.
Too many high priorities.
We've got so many high priorities there that if they gave high priority, they'd be working for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's Tim's intention, nor mine, for that matter.
Okay. Does anybody else want to be in the queue on this? Well, I'll recognize myself. This is Steve Metalitz. I have one question and then one general observation. The question goes to point four, which says that as some agreement is reached on various items, they are posted for public comment and feedback. So I think, Tim, you're foreseeing a scenario in which a few items are agreed and put aside or can go through public comment or review by a GNSO team while the discussion goes on other items. I guess I really have a two-part question. First, that doesn't strike me as a very realistic scenario in a negotiation like this, because ordinarily neither party would be too inclined to agree to anything until they see the whole picture. If there are 10 issues, there might be two or three that one side really wants and two or three that the other side really wants, and neither necessarily commit to either of those until they know what happened to their wish list. So I guess my question is, do you have a basis for thinking that this negotiation would not go that way, that there would actually be sequential issues, a few issues that could be dealt with and then turned to other, locked down and then turned to others? And I guess my other question on it is, last time, did it work that way or did it work the way I've described, in which basically nothing was final until everything was final?
Well, I think there's those are good questions, Steve. I'm not sure that we completely thought those out, but I think those are good points to raise. And they get back to, you know, Holly making a good point about trying to be more specific about the priority items, so that we can address those in a set, perhaps, or whatever. But one thing I do know, and that is that not that it was the entire issue, but that getting earlier feedback is going to be important, because otherwise we do risk iteration, long drawn out iterations. In other words, we get to where we thought we had final agreement on a set of amendments, but then there was significant pushback on certain items by the community, and then we ended up back at the negotiation table trying to figure out how can we address those without knocking all this stuff back off the table again. So that's what I'm hoping we can avoid by having briefer iterations, but that's going to be a challenge, I think, as you point out. So I'm not sure I have concrete answer for how that's going to go, but certainly if we have a better concept of what's really high priority, then maybe we can take this set of things and address those, and then perhaps then be able to move on to another set. Probably not the best answer you're looking for, but that's about all I have right now, I guess. And it's sad if you have anything to add or thoughts on that, you know, feel free.
I don't, thanks.
Okay. Well, I thought I saw Michaela's hand up, but it's not up now. Michaela, did you want to be in the queue, or should I continue with my observations here? Unless I hear from Michaela, I'll just go ahead.
I suppose I will say something.
Go ahead, then.
I actually managed to get through an entire conference call this week without saying a word, which is a miracle. Just going back to Tim's list, while I can understand that some people might have an issue with the way he's presenting this, I can see where he's coming from in that there is probably some areas. Put it this way. Would you prefer that there was movement and progress, or that you ended up in a situation where there was just a complete lockdown because nobody could agree and nothing moved forward? Whereas if you're able, some things that people would like to see amended in the RAA are probably not that contentious. Other things obviously are going to be more contentious. So, you know, the possibility of kind of moving forward on some things without, it taking forever and ever and ever is probably better than sitting there trying to reach agreement on a whole range of things which might not actually happen.
Okay. Thank you. Did anybody else want to make any comments at this point?
It's Cheryl here. I've stepped away from the computer. I'll put my hand up when I get back, so continue your stuff. Thanks, Steve.
Okay. I guess my general observation really is this. I think I appreciate Tim putting this forward because I think it does give us a concrete proposal to look at, and I had intended my proposal as a straw man to get the discussion started, so I think I could already proclaim it a success in that regard. But I have to say, and I agree with Tim, that one of the problems last time was that there wasn't early enough feedback from the community on the negotiations. And obviously one way to resolve that problem is to bring some of the rest of the community into the room. Last time the registrars and the staff got into a room, and I suppose the staff were there to look out for the public interest and the interests of non-contracted parties. I think they failed. And I think that's the reason why we have this team, because people were unhappy both with the process and with the outcome of the last set of negotiations. So I'm reluctant to agree, I certainly can't agree at this point, to setting up that closed room again. I understand that you're suggesting that the door maybe here's what we've agreed on, or even perhaps to say here's where we are, here's what we're talking about or thinking about, even though we don't have an agreement, and get some feedback there. And I think that would be an improvement. But the question is whether that's really responsive to the problem that was that we identified last time, which was the fact that no one else was in the room other than the staff and the and the registrars. So that's really my hesitation about this, but I think it's definitely worth considering this, and perhaps we can think about some way to institutionalize this early feedback that you're talking about and still maintain what seems to be, from the way you put it, kind of a red line for you that or for some of the registrars anyway, maybe for all the registrars, which is that no one else is going to be in the room other than the registrars and the staff. So that's just my general observation on this. Cheryl,
yeah.
You're up. Tim, did you want to
respond? Sorry, I think Tim wanted to write a reply.
Go right ahead.
Well, yeah, just briefly, the concern I have, even in the previous one, I mean, it wasn't, any and all registrars. It was, representative group of registrars, because if the group gets too big, then there's just a whole lot of discussion and not a lot of getting things done. I don't want to, I wouldn't want to see it turned into another, it's almost like a policy development process that goes on for months and months. Hopefully, that it doesn't go on for months and months. So that'd be the one concern that I would have. But, I hear what you're saying, Steve, and I don't know, see what we can, what we might be able to come to agree with. But.
Okay. Thank you. Cheryl, and then Holly.
Thank you, Steve. Building on very much what you were saying at the end there, Steve, and so it was very good that I suggested you finished while I got back to my computer rather than me jump in and far less eloquently say what you were going to say anyway. But also picking up on what both Tim and Michaela have said, the end game, the desire, the outcome that we all want in this process, at least those of us from the demand as opposed to the supply side certainly want in this process, is a mechanism where we have trust and confidence in what is happening in the necessarily closed room for contract negotiation. Therefore, all the prior planning, all the preparation, and some of that is clearly able to, perhaps with a little bit of tweaking, be done in what Tim's put up here, which I would like to be labelled as draft for consideration when we revisit part three of our tasks. But to do that, we need to get back to task one and two, because if we can look at those high priorities lists we've got and perhaps subsect them now into other categories, those that are clearly going to be more or less contentious, those that can be bundled together, those that make sense to perhaps pick up on this methodology. I'm not sure that we're going to get a lot further tweaking part three. This is a great draft, thank you. We'll all go home and digest it and work on it. It will need review. It will need a little negotiation, but that's what the work group's for. And now let's get back to the foundation work that has to happen so that the whole trust, input and interaction stuff, just like you're doing a development, engage the community, bring them on board, help them to own and understand, and then you don't get the pushback. Or at least if you do, it will be more easy to manage. Hand down.
Thank you, Cheryl, very much. Holly, I think you're next, and let me just see if anybody else wants to be in the queue.
First of all, thank you, Cheryl. You said eloquently what I probably would have said anyway. Just thought, Steve, and also Tim, given that there will necessarily, or maybe not, be a closed room, is there any, and I think there is, advantage in possibly having this group so that even though there may be a closed door, there is a way to say we're running into difficulties just to keep people informed of what's going on so that, I suppose, the what looks like this huge black thing in which things happen and then we're told about later is at least a little bit enlightening in the sense that there is some kind of communication to avoid exactly the situation that Steve described so well.
Tim, any response on that?
I think that's a very good suggestion. Personally, I think it sounds like it makes some sense and something that I hope we can take back to registrars and see if they're on board with that. We're trying to work something out here that's going to, alleviate the concerns the community had over last time and still, keep the process moving forward and address the concerns the registrars have over negotiations on their agreements. So I'm sure we can find some balance in there that's going to make sense.
Well, Steve, if I may, just back to Tim, we've got no shortage of legal experts on our side of the divide, Tim, so believe me, we definitely understand the nature of confidential, commercial and closed room negotiations, and I doubt that anyone in the at-large community would be wanting, well, anyone with significant backing would want to be arguing any other way. The whole concept is to get the prior planning to prevent the piss-poor performance in the next time round.
Got it. Understood.
Okay, I think Liz has her hand up.
Well, I have a comment. Maybe it's a suggestion for how we might be able to institutionalize, if you will, the process of, you know, maybe ongoing outreach and solicitation of stakeholder inputs without the, you know, while addressing the concerns that I think Tim has about the need for the negotiations to, you know, make progress with and be conducted in a certain way, and wondered if, you know, doing, say, a public consultation periodically, building in a, say, more than one, but say two public comment, or three, or, you know, some, depending on how long the negotiations occur, you know, every 4 months, or, you know, I'm just making it up, 3 months, or whatever the time. I want to respond to Cheryl in a way that, like, how do we put some concreteness around it without undermining Tim's process that would assure that there would be this outreach and ongoing opportunity for solicitation and consideration, you know, of those inputs, but in a manageable, controlled way. Just a thought.
Okay. Thank you, Liz.
Right, right.
Damn good thought.
I see Holly has her hand up.
I do. And it's a very practical question. Right now I've been treating this list as pretty much a confidential one. I think if we're going to proceed with three, we're going to have some ground rules about what is confidential and what people can go back to their constituencies with to get some feedback. So, in fact, we do have permission to discuss some things that we all agree on, and we're also all agreed on what we don't discuss. It's a process.
When you're talking about this list, are you talking about our matrix with all of the issues?
Yes, matrix, issues, what people think, what is it that we as a group can go back to our constituents and say is going on, in what level of detail, so that if we are going to develop some kind of process that I'm very happy to hear Tim thinks is worth talking about, we have some clarity as to the expectations of what is or isn't going to be discussed more broadly.
Well, this is Steve. If I could just respond to that. I don't think anything we've been doing has been confidential. Our mailing list is publicly posted. All of our emails are publicly available. There's been recording. So you know, this is a transparent process, at least up to this point. So.
And as a member of the Accountability and Transparency Review Team, I'm very glad to hear that and to continue to endorse such a thing.
I would say the only opaqueness is people wouldn't know what to look for.
Well, that's true. I mean, there's
yes, but that's the art of it, Holly.
There's too
exactly.
much information. Okay,
it is possible to be buried by transparency.
Absolutely.
A point I will be making, I can assure you.
Okay, let me just see if there's anybody else that has. I actually have one other question about Tim's list, which really arises from something that he said about which registrars will be in the room. If there's nobody else that wants to has a comment, let me just ask this parenthesis in item three: negotiations begin between staff and the registrars, paren, as a whole, not individually. I think you said the last time there were some registrars who were there as representatives of registrars, or could you just explain what you meant by that parenthesis?
Yeah, in other words, by the parenthesis, what I meant was that I didn't want to imply that we thought there would be, you know, ICANN would be going individually to registrars trying to negotiate things, that what our intent would be is, like last time, to have to select a representative group of registrars who would actually be involved in negotiations, and they would be the conduit back to registrars as a whole as far as what was going on and you know, progress and issues or questions or whatever. But having that small group, that was most effective. And so there isn't going to be, you know, at least our intent is that ICANN wouldn't individually try to negotiate with each and every registrar. This wouldn't be productive or make any sense.
But
it'd be cool. There's no way to track any kind of progress that way either. That's all I was trying to.
Okay. But at last, let me just ask, last time when those registrars who were involved in the negotiations, were they empowered to speak on behalf of the other registrars, or were they simply expressing the viewpoint of the registrar constituency which then existed, or were they simply representing their own companies?
We tried to represent the views of the registrars as a whole. And so, you know, there were situations where we knew where registrars stood and we were able to speak to that. In other cases, we would have to go back and you know, determine if a particular compromise or a change, whatever, was going to be acceptable and, you know, if not, why, that kind of thing. So, you know, we weren't just empowered to do whatever. It was very much an exercise in keeping the rest of the registrars involved in communicating to them what was going on.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments, questions, observations on Tim's document? Okay. Well, I think we had the suggestion. I think Cheryl's that this be marked as, you know, for draft for discussion or words to that effect. And I think it's very useful as that, and something that we will return to. We've had a number, and of course, I hope people, if they have other comments or questions, they will surface those on the list. We've been reminded a couple of times that our work is not done on numbers 1 and 2, and before we adjourn today, we certainly want to talk about how we can move that forward, but let me ask that we turn now to the question of timetable. The timetable that we adopted, I think at the end of January, called for this week finalizing the report. We were supposed to start the discussion of task 3 in the preceding meetings. So we slipped behind a little bit to begin with, and I think our discussion of 3 has slipped us a little further behind. But I think I don't want to put this all – I think the real task ahead of us is to finalize the work we've done on 1 and 2, and I know Holly has made a good start on that, but I guess I could – all I can say is that I think we really need to turn our attention to that in the week or two ahead. The question is, what should be our goal as far as preparing our report that would address items 1, 2, and 3, and submitting that to the council? Now, we had agreed in January that our goal would be to submit the report April 7th because we were told that had to happen in order to for it to be ripe for action by the council on April 21st. Now, I see in the material Marika has posted that actually that the deadline is a little bit looser in that she lists 21 April deadline for submission of documents, 13 April, and then corresponding to the future meetings of the council. I guess there's only one meeting of the council in May. And so she's got the deadline of 12th of May and then 10th of June deadline, the 2nd of June. So I just want to, were we off base when we were, or when we heard or were told that we had to get something to the council 2 weeks or 10 business days, I think, prior to the council meeting? Is it really 8 calendar days? Is that the actual advance notice that has to be given? I guess I'm asking the staff that.
That's right.
Okay.
Eight days.
Okay. Then we were a little bit off base there. It helps, gives us an extra week. But still, I don't think it's realistic to think that we would have our report on April 13th. So I guess having seen this, I wonder if we can strive to get our report done by the 12th of May, which would put it in front of the council. Again, no guarantee the council will take it up, of course, at that first time, but it would put it before the council on the 20th of May. I think it's advantageous to us, I think, if we can get this in front of the council before everything starts into the funnel for the next ICANN meeting, which is in the end of June. So Is the 12th of May a realistic deadline for us? I guess that's the question on the floor. And I see Cheryl has a view to express on that.
Not so much a view, but I think you must be becoming psychic, because my question went to what will that do to the possibility, should we desire to do so, of having some sort of forum or otherwise. I'm not talking about a meeting of our own work group, but an interaction with outside of our work group at the Brussels meeting. That I just wanted to make sure that we worked back from Brussels timelines as well as from the GNSO meetings.
That point is well taken, and we haven't, you know, made any decision. It's not in our charter necessarily for there to be a forum, but obviously, if we are able to complete our report, it would be very useful to have something like that, and we would, you know, I'm sure members of this team would be glad to participate. Any other comments on this timetable? Well, if there's no. I'm sorry, did someone have a comment?
I forgot to put my hand up.
Go ahead.
I think it will work. This is Holly. I think it will work, but I think we're going to have to be disciplined in narrowing down what it is we actually, number one, are recommending, and then number two, what we regard as the highest priority, most important. And I think everybody's just going to have to do a little bit of homework and be able to come to the next meeting, and we can just tick stuff off under each heading, and therefore reduce what is now lots of items in a matrix down to some workable things that we can realistically set some priorities around. So there is a bit of work ahead, and everybody's going to have to sign it, put their hand on their heart and say, yep. And I hope what I did helps people kind of focus on what is it we actually did agree on and rethink what kind of priorities we really do think this is.
I think. Any other comments on this? Well, I'll put my hand on my heart and say that I will get a couple of things out to the list before our next meeting, one of which will be the revised timetable from the 12th of May. When do we have to, you know, get our draft done and so forth. But I agree with Holly that our next meeting, we should try to come to, if we possibly can, we should try to come to closure on tasks one and two. And that doesn't necessarily mean unanimity. There may be some disagreements, but if we can at least get everything, we may need a three-tier set of priorities or something like that. But I agree. If we have, you've done the counting, Holly, if we have 45 high priorities.
I lost count.
we're in trouble. So we need to weed out from that, and I don't know what the right number is, but it certainly isn't 45. So we need to get that number down, and we need to make sure we've, as Staten raised, if there are issues that we haven't yet flagged that raise consensus policy issues, that should be done. So I could certainly try to circulate something on that, but I think Holly has given us a good start toward doing that, and it really is up to us. And I would encourage you, as to the extent it's feasible, to consult with your constituencies or groups, whatever group you're working with, and to see their feedback so that we can really have a realistic list of the top priority items, and then maybe a second set of things below that. So that would be my encouragement to all on the call.
What is that noise? It is killing me through my ear set. Sorry, Steve. It made me jump earlier.
I'm not sure what that is, but someone may be stapling something.
Okay.
Maybe not.
It's actually painful through my headset, that's all. Sorry.
All right. Well, let me just ask if there's any other business that we need to bring up. We will, of course, send a doodle poll around, and I think we're looking at the week after next. That would be early the week of the 12th. So that gives us 10 days or so at least, so 12 days, to actually make some progress here, and that's what our list is for. I encourage people to do what we've done here with the straw man on number three, and the straw man may not survive the process, but at least sometimes gets the process going. So I guess I would encourage people to do that, and I will pledge to do my bit there. Holly, did you want to make a comment?
Just a thought. I will be in Hong Kong that week. I will try to dial in, but just not sure how busy I'm going to be. So I may be an apology, but I think since I've done the first bit of work,
yeah,
I can be apologized for 1 week.
All right. Well, we'll see. Obviously, there will be a number of options given, so hopefully we'll find a time that you will be able to join. Good. Any other questions, comments, or other issues that we need to address today? If not, I want to thank everybody for their participation, and I look for all of your contributions on the list in refining our list of priorities. I'll circulate a revised version of the timetable, and you should also look for a doodle poll very soon. For early in the week of the 12th.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.